The princess sent for the cage, and after she had related the circumstances to the bird in the presence of her brothers, asked him what they should do in this perplexity. The bird answered,
"The princess, your brothers, must conform to the emperor's pleasure, and in their turn invite him to come and see your house."
"But, bird," replied the princess, "my brothers and I love one another, and our friendship is yet undisturbed. Will not this step be injurious to that friendship?"
"Not at all," replied the bird. "It will tend rather to cement it."
"Then," answered the princess, "the emperor will see me."
The bird told her it was necessary he should, and that everything would go better afterward. Next morning the princes met the emperor hunting, who asked them if they had remembered to speak to their sister. Prince Bahman approached and answered,
"Sir, we are ready to obey you, for we have not only obtained our sister's consent with great ease, but she took it amiss that we should pay her that deference in a matter wherein our duty to your majesty was concerned. If we have offended, we hope you will pardon us."
"Do not be uneasy," replied the emperor. "I highly approve of your conduct, and hope you will have the same deference and attachment to my person, if I have ever so little share in your friendship."
The princes, confounded at the emperor's goodness, returned no other answer but a low obeisance. The emperor, contrary to his usual custom, did not hunt long that day. Presuming that the princes possessed wit equal to their courage and bravery, he longed with impatience to converse with them more at liberty. He made them ride on each side of him, an honour which was envied by the Grand Vizier, who was much mortified to see them preferred before him. When the emperor entered his capital, the eyes of the people, who stood in crowds in the streets, were fixed upon the two princes Bahman and Perviz, and they were earnest to know who they might be. All, however, agreed in wishing that the emperor had been blessed with two such handsome princes, and said that his children would have been about the same age if the queen had not been so unfortunate as to lose them. The first thing the emperor did when he arrived at his palace was to conduct the princes into the principal apartments, who praised without affectation the beauty and symmetry of the rooms and the richness of the furniture and ornaments. Afterward, a magnificent repast was served up, and the emperor made them sit with him, which they at first refused. But, finding it was his pleasure, they obeyed. The emperor, who had himself much learning, particularly in history, foresaw that the princes, out of modesty and respect, would not take the liberty of beginning any conversation. Therefore, to give them an opportunity, he furnished them with subjects all dinner-time. But whatever subject he introduced, they showed so much wit, judgment, and discernment that he was struck with admiration.
"Were these my own children," said he to himself, "and I had improved their talents by suitable education, they could not have been more accomplished or better informed."
In short, he took such great pleasure in their conversation that after having sat longer than usual, he led them into his closet, where he pursued his conversation with them, and at last said,
"I never supposed that there were among my subjects in the country youths so well brought up, so lively, so capable, and I never was better pleased with any conversation than yours. But it is time now we should relax our minds with some diversion, and as nothing is more capable of enlivening the mind than music, you shall hear a vocal and instrumental concert which may not be disagreeable to you."
The emperor had no sooner spoken than the musicians, who had orders to attend, entered, and answered fully the expectations the princes had been led to entertain of their abilities. After the concerts, an excellent farce was acted, and the entertainment was concluded by dancers of both sexes. The two princes, seeing night approach, prostrated themselves at the emperor's feet, and having first thanked him for the favours and honours he had heaped upon them, asked his permission to retire. Which was granted by the emperor, who, in dismissing them, said,
"I give you leave to go, but remember, you will be always welcome, and the oftener you come, the greater pleasure you will do me."
Before they went out of the emperor's presence, Prince Bahman said,
"Sir,
May we presume to request that Your Majesty will do us and our sister the honour to pass by our house and refresh yourself after your fatigue the first time you take the diversion of hunting in that neighbourhood? It is not worthy of your presence, but monarchs sometimes have vouchsafed to take shelter in a cottage."
"My children," replied the Emperor, "your house cannot be otherwise than beautiful and worthy of its owners. I will call and see it with pleasure, which will be the greater for having for my hosts you and your sister, who is already dear to me from the account you give me of the rare qualities with which she is endowed. And this satisfaction I will defer no longer than tomorrow. Early in the morning I will be at the place where I shall never forget that I first saw you. Meet me, and you shall be my guides."
When the princes Bahman and Purvis had returned home, they gave the princess an account of the distinguished reception the emperor had given them, and told her that they had invited him to do them the honour, as he passed by, to call at their house, and that he had appointed the next day.
"If it be so," replied the princess, "we must think of preparing a repast fit for His Majesty, and for that purpose I think it would be proper we should consult a talking bird, who will tell us, perhaps, what meats the emperor likes best."
The princess approved of her plan, and after they had retired, she consulted the bird alone.
"Bird," said she, "the emperor will do us the honour tomorrow to come and see our house, and we are to entertain him. Tell us what we shall do to acquit ourselves to his satisfaction."
"Good mistress," replied the bird, "you have excellent cooks. Let them do the best they can. But above all things, let them prepare a dish of cucumbers stuffed full of pearls, which must be set before the emperor in the first course before all the other dishes."
"Cucumbers stuffed full of pearls?" cried Princess Parizade with amazement.
"Surely, bird, you do not know what you say. It is an unheard of dish. The emperor may admire it as a piece of magnificence, but he will sit down to eat and not to admire pearls. Besides, all the pearls I possess are not enough for such a dish."
"Mistress," said the bird, "do what I say, and be not uneasy about what may happen. Nothing but good will follow. As for the pearls, go early tomorrow morning to the foot of the first tree on your right hand in the park, dig under it, and you will find more than you want."
That night the princess ordered a gardener to be ready to attend her, and the next morning early led him to the tree which the bird had told her of, and bade him dig at its foot. When the gardener came to a certain depth, he found some resistance to the spade, and presently discovered a gold box about a foot square, which he showed the princess.
"This," said she, "is what I brought you for. Take care not to injure it with the spade."
When the gardener took up the box, he gave it into the prince's hands, who, as it was only fastened with neat little hasps, soon opened it, and found it full of pearls of a moderate size, but equal and fit for the use that was to be made of them. Very well satisfied with having found this treasure, after she had shut the box again, she put it under her arm and went back to the house, while the gardener threw the earth into the hole at the foot of the tree as it had been before. The princes Bahman and Purvis, who, as they were dressing themselves in their own apartments, saw their sister in the garden earlier than usual, as soon as they could get out went to her, and met her as she was returning with a gold box under her arm, which much surprised them.
"Sister," said Bahman, "you carried nothing with you when we saw you before with the gardener, and now we see you have a golden box. Is this some treasure found by the gardener, and did he come and tell you of it?"
"No, brother," answered the princess. "I took the gardener to the place where this casket was concealed, and showed him where to dig. But you will be more amazed when you see what it contains."
The princess opened the box, and when the princess saw that it was full of pearls, which, though small, were of great value, they asked her how she came to the knowledge of this treasure.
"Brothers," said she, "come with me, and I will tell you."
The princess, as they returned to the house, gave them an account of her having consulted the bird, as they had agreed she should, and the answer he had given her. The objection she had raised to preparing a dish of cucumbers stuffed full of pearls, and how he had told her where to find this box. The sister and brothers formed many conjectures to penetrate into what the bird could mean by ordering them to prepare such a dish, but after much conversation they agreed to follow his advice exactly.